is gonna be.
You got enough slack?
You know what that music means. Yeah, Monday through Friday when you hear that, it's time for the Paul Feinbaum Show. You can listen to it every day starting at 2 o'clock on 94.9. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're here live at Centennial Sportsplex. Predators in a little camp. Should have head coach John Hines a little bit later this hour. But right now, we do bring in Paul Feinbaum, his weekly chat with us. It's brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
It is we're doing great. It's nice to be at somewhere, and as we said in the first segment, it's nice to be distracted on live radio again. It's been a while since we've been in front of people and players and coaches, and it's just a little refresh.
Yeah, no, I mean, every day I sit in our studio, and I think, man, a year ago we were barely getting a program on. It has been a remarkable turnaround.
I was going to ask you about if you believe in Arkansas. Big win for them in Dallas and Jerry's World against Texas A&M. Looking at the spread this morning, clearly the odds makers don't believe in Arkansas, or maybe they just really believe in Georgia. 18.5-point favorite. What do you make of what Sam Pittman has been able to do this season at Arkansas, and really the coordinators that he's hired, because I think they've been a big part of their success as well?
Well, I think overall it's been the best story in college football. Last year the Razorbacks only won three games, but it seemed like more because they had at least two and maybe three games that were either taken from them by the officials or they blew at the end. But beating Texas was significant. Being out there that weekend, you could feel the tide changing. A&M was psychological. But I don't think Arkansas really is in the same league as Alabama and Georgia. And you know, that's not meant really to be disrespectful. But I don't see them winning the game this week. And then we'll see, because after this week, they deal with Ole Miss, and that's another intriguing matchup. And obviously still have to take on Alabama toward the end of the year. So what you see now in terms of record and ranking, I don't think will last very long.
Is this one of the better defenses? I don't want to say rank them, Paul, because, you know, I mean, I know coaches hate that question, and you probably hate the question too, because we've seen a lot of great defenses in the SEC over the years. But where do you think this Georgia defense this season ranks? Is this top five, top 10, top three? I mean, they're pretty stout. What do you see so far out of this Georgia defense?
Yeah, I mean, right now they look to be among the elite that we have seen in a long time. I want to see a little bit more. Right now they play Clemson, which is, you know, a woeful offense. We know that. South Carolina, not good. And obviously Vanderbilt. I'll leave it to you guys to comment on that. I'm taking a vow not to discuss Vanderbilt any more than I have to. So I think they're potentially in that league, and you know, but until I see them against, you know, what I would call a really explosive offense, you know, and I don't know, you know, how many they'll see this year, because Ole Miss and Alabama, you know, one of them will likely be in the SEC title game.
When you look at the lay of the land in the country, the usual suspects don't look like the usual suspects. Clemson, no offense whatsoever. Ohio State, no defense whatsoever. You know, I mean, there's some teams that we expect always to be. Oklahoma had to come back to beat West Virginia at home. They don't look like a juggernaut, in my opinion. Isn't this setting up, with all that being said, almost, I don't want to say guarantee, maybe that's a little strong, I don't know. You put in the word, you insert the word that best describes this season setting up for two SEC teams in the college playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could look at college football through 4 weeks, which is a good sample. It's not perfect, but it's a lot better than it was before the season, and not think Alabama and Georgia are going to the playoffs. And I think the real question is, you know, what is going on? You know, is it the after effect of the COVID year? You know, is it the transfer portal? Is it NIL? Is it the fact that a lot of programs did not hit in preseason? Whatever it is, we are seeing disastrous play out of the teams that you mentioned. And you know, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Clemson were pretty much in everyone's top four 5 weeks ago when we began this. So there are no real answers, but the facts are the facts. And yeah, I still think we're going to get some more separation here over the next few weeks. And I think after this weekend, both Alabama and Georgia will have faced legitimate tests. And, you know, Alabama already has. So I don't think we have to be too concerned that they're a good team. Georgia, I'm pretty sure they are as well. But, you know, they'll play a good defense this week. And if they can score a lot, then I would start to pencil them in at the end of the year.
Do you think, Paul, that the winner of Notre Dame-Cincinnati has got a clear path to be one of those four teams in the playoffs?
Yes. This is one of the most sneaky, under-the-radar games of the year. And regardless of who wins, I think that Cincinnati would have a significant win. For all those who don't want to ever give Cincinnati credit, I don't care what year it is, winning a Notre Dame counts. And you know, I think Notre Dame, to its credit, has really surprised me in terms of, I mean, they win ugly, but they are winning, and Brian Kelly is almost impossible to criticize right now.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I was going. It is amazing how we're always trying to find ways that Notre Dame's going to lose, right? Like, nobody really believes in them. But yet Brian Kelly every year just keeps trucking along, and Notre Dame sits up there at the top of the standings, and they just keep winning games.
Yeah,
I mean, they housed Wisconsin on Saturday.
Yeah,
it was bad.
And I'll tell you, I mean, three or four years ago, I was among those who were saying, is this guy ever going to get it done? But he did. And, you know, you have to credit the resiliency of this program. And yeah, I don't care. Wisconsin's always overrated. But, so there are not a lot of significant wins, but this would be a significant win.
Paul, do you think there's any chance Eli Manning gives the double bird to Alabama on Saturday with an Ole Miss win?
Yeah, you know, I think I said Arkansas is the story of the year. I think Eli Manning might be even a bigger story. I did the first mega cast, I think it was 8 years ago for ESPN, and those things are very difficult to do. I've done them pretty much every year, and to his credit, I mean, first of all, you have to deal with Peyton Manning, who never stops talking. I don't think it's as difficult when you're the Manning brothers to get the guest list that they get, but I think it's particularly difficult to get an audience, and they have done that.
So when you say it's extremely difficult, you've lived it. Tell us about it. I mean, it's the phenomenon, right? It's what everybody's talking about. Like you said, this is not new. This has been going on for almost a decade. You've been a part of it. Why do you say it's so difficult? Take us behind the walls.
Yeah, so you sit there, and I've done them in studios. I've done them at stadiums. So you're basically sitting in a small room, and you have two or three screens. You have the live version of the game, and I don't care who you are, it's hard not to fixate on what is happening on that screen because that's what the audience is there for. But you also have to remember the camera is on you and, you know, whoever else you have in there. And I've done it with Tim Tebow and Marcus Spears and Greg McElroy and Brett Bielema did a megacast with us. And most of the ones I've done, there have been three or four people. So that's the dilemma. I think with the Mannings, they have it down so well, but the difference is, and the reason why I think this is even more, they are not together. Eli's in New Jersey, Peyton's in Denver, and then LeBron is in L.A. or Saban's in Tuscaloosa. So there is a great deal to manage, and in addition to all that, you guys have all dabbled in television, I'm sure. You've got a producer in your ear who is giving you the most inane, innocuous BS that you can imagine. Make sure you mention that Jalen Hurts is from Houston, Texas. I mean, you just want to say, shut up already, man. But so you're dealing with a lot of different things going on simultaneously, and to make it entertaining is extremely difficult.
Paul Feinbaum is with us from ESPN and the SEC Network. And going back to this game, Ole Miss and Alabama, we've had a couple of people on already this week that one said that he thinks Ole Miss will beat Alabama, and the other thinks that it's going to be a close game. You seem to feel like it's going to be a test for Alabama. We know what Ole Miss offense is, but what have you seen defensively that makes you think, okay, Lane's got something for Saban this time around?
Well, I haven't seen very much. I mean, Ole Miss has played, you know, Louisville, which is a very pedestrian team, Tulane, which is a good team, but certainly let's not get carried away because they almost beat Oklahoma. I mean, that happens occasionally. So I really don't know how good this defense is, and I tend to think it's not that great. So that therein lies the problem. If Lane wants to play another shootout game, then they're going to have to stop Alabama a couple of times. I'm not a technician, but I remember last year's game, and I think Alabama's defense has been somewhat maligned because it gave up so many plays, so many scores, and was unable to get off the field against Florida. I tend to think they're going to be better at home, and all you have to do is really stop Matt Corral two or three times in the game, and that's probably all you need to. That's all you're going to need, because if it's a shootout, it favors Alabama.
So I kind of feel like that this is a week in the SEC where we're really going to see if there are people like I was pretty high on Kentucky. We're going to see if I'm right going into this week. Florida. You know, Tennessee gave them a game in the first half, but it's Tennessee. You expected Florida to win that game. They pulled away in the second half, and they sit at 3-1. But they're going to Kentucky. Kentucky's undefeated. I had Kentucky finishing second in the East, and I know I wasn't the only one. But how do you look at this game? We know the history between these two teams. Do you think Kentucky has a chance to knock off Florida?
I do. And I think this is one of the most important games of the week, because Kentucky always is about to beat Florida and blows it at the end. I know they beat them a couple of years ago and it set up a magical 10-win season, but most of the time they blow the game. They had a double-digit lead 3 years ago, blew the game. They seem like it's just a haunted game for them. And if they beat Florida, Florida is done. I mean, they have no way back with Georgia remaining on the schedule. And I think it sets up Georgia to play a really tough game in a couple of weeks against Kentucky. So That is fascinating. There's another game I'm really interested in, and not because of the artistry of the game, but Auburn goes to LSU.
Yes.
And I tell you what, in the pantheon of bad performances, Auburn's performance last week against Georgia State would have to rank very near the bottom. It took a miracle play and yet another blown officials call to give them a win. The coach down there, Brian Harsin, has already fired a coach. He's not like 4 years into his reign. He's four games into his tenure, and he fired a guy he just hired. And then you have the Ed O story. They survived Mississippi State, but Ed O is always one bad loss away from being on the hot seat.
Yeah, Auburn's a team that I can't figure out. I mean, they hang with Penn State, lose by 8 points, but then, like you said, Georgia State, they had to fight just to win that game. And I, you know, you look at the final score and go, okay, well, they won by 10 points, but it should have been by a lot more, and they honestly could have lost that game if you watch the whole thing. So I can't really figure out what Auburn is exactly.
I think they're pretty average is what they are. And again, that not that really matters a lot, but I just back to Tennessee, and I know I sound like a disgruntled alum, but I hope we go to a point in time when Tennessee fans are not saying, you know what, we really competed well, and if it wasn't for a drop pass here and there, I don't think it would have been a 24-point loss to Florida. I mean, somewhere when I hear that, I kind of feel General Nealand rolling over in his grave.
No, I think you're right. It's funny. I went on a show in Kansas City earlier this week, and the host asked me, have people come around on Josh Heupel knowing that it's a process and that he's got to build this team? And I said, my answer was, you know what? I don't know, but I don't think so, because they're just so tired of this. They've gone through this for, we keep saying 10 years. Really, it's closer to 20. at this point with all the rebuilds and shuffling and things that they've gone through. I think now that the Vols fans are just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Wake me up when it's 1998 again is how I answered it. I mean, do you feel that way even as an alum?
Yeah, I do. And I just think, I mean, I see progress in small doses, but you talk about an important game, and I'll let somebody else watch this game. But, you know, Tennessee and Missouri is a pivotal game for both schools because Missouri is underperforming. I thought they would really be good this year. And it's a game, you know, if Tennessee sneaks over there and wins, then they have a little hope. But if they don't, then what? We're talking now about three losses, and, you know, Tennessee still hasn't seen the two best programs on its schedule.
Who do you think is sitting down on the hottest seat right now in the country, in your opinion?
I think in some ways it's still going to be Orgeron because, you know, he hasn't played Alabama. You know, he hasn't played Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M still ahead. And I just think the fans down there who love him, who embraced him, will give up on him very quickly if they start losing a couple more games.
Will then that beat the record for Auburn for a coach who wins a national championship and gets fired quicker than what Auburn did? Will that beat the record?
It depends on when he gets fired. For the record, Gene Chizik was fired at the day after the Alabama game, which was just short of 2 years after he won the national championship. So if Coach O goes before the final game, then they will have the record.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to keep close tabs on that. Paul, always appreciate the visit. As always, you have a great rest of your week and great shows, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
Paul Feinbaum brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We always enjoy our chats with him. Yeah, the line is, I wish the Ole Miss game was in Oxford. I don't like that it's in Tuscaloosa.
Well, listen, I'm sitting here looking at that. There's a few others. I have the first pick in underdogs this week, and it's very appealing. I mean, 14.5, that's a lot, and especially the position I'm in. But you're right. It's not in Oxford. It's in Tuscaloosa. Can Ole Miss's defense? Because honestly, if they can put up the points like they did last year, if that offense can work and exploit Alabama's defense like they did last year, then they really just need one or two key stops. The thing is, I don't know, can they get those one or two key stops?
What would the line be if it was in Oxford?
I still think it would 9.5.
Okay, so yeah. I was at 10.
Yeah,
10.5. But then I'm like, so Tuscaloosa's only worth 4 points.
It's but it's, I mean, that shows you it's still Alabama.
It's definitely over 7.5.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure where it's somewhere between 8 and 10.
Yeah, that's what I think it would be
if it was in Oxford.
And I think the same for a neutral site. You know, it's probably, maybe it's closer to 7.5 if it's a neutral site.
If the game was in Fayetteville, what's the Georgia-Arkansas line? It's 18.5 right now. What if it's in Fayetteville? 10.5?
Yeah, I'd go 10.5.
12.5?
10.5 to 12.5 is probably right.
Somewhere in that range.
A little less than two touchdowns, but I think what you see, though, the odds makers and really like people like us, you watch Arkansas, and Arkansas took care of business against Texas A&M. They were in control of that game. They look to be legit and a good team. And Ole Miss looks to be, you know, offensively what everybody thought they would and somewhat improved on defense. Still a lot of work to do, but they both look like good teams. But you're still factoring in history, and you're factoring in that Arkansas has been so bad for so long, and now they're playing the second-best team in the country.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we will step aside, take a break here from Centennial Sportsplex.
Hi, Phil.
We'll come back. Phil Forsberg standing in front of the table. We'll come back with more here on Darren Donick and Chase on this gorgeous, yet again, another gorgeous day here in Middle Tennessee on ESPN 102.5 The Game.